Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
On today's episode of the Cowboys Can Fan Podcast, we break down that new, fresh out the oven 53-man roster. We're very excited that the kickoff is, what, less than 2 weeks away. Also, if you are just listening to this episode, please come join us on YouTube, youtube.com/@CowboysCanFan, or just search Cowboys Can Fan, you know, Canadian fan. It's going to be everywhere you search on the YouTube or on the Google. You can also hit up CowboysCanFan.com, and that's got a bunch of links and everything you need there as well. And we are looking for people to join our fantasy football league for the podcast. So please come hit us, slide into our DMs at Cowboys Can Fan on all the social medias. You just pick your poison and we will get back to you or see the message as well. That's it. That's all. Also, if you're looking for more than just football, Dallas Cowboys football specifically, you need to hit up the Grid Network. That's GRYD. And then the word network. This podcast is the official podcast of LandryHat.com, brought to you by Fansided. Let's get into it.
Yeah, boys!
999 men enter the team, and only 53 survived.
Welcome to Pirate Wednesday, Pirate Pack Wednesday, with ya boys, Pirate Pack Wednesday.
Now I want a pirate pack.
And as Blue Virus in the chat says, hit that like button, son. You know, we just make everybody wait a nice juicy
like and subscribe.
Juicy 15 minutes. We just want to see who the diehards are. And if you're there watching this, welcome to the Cowboys Can Fan Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ad Bess, with co-host Alex, AJ.
I need you guys to take the reins because I forgot my Apple iPods. Like, I'm using these $5. I bought $5 headphones from the gas station just before I came here, and it sounds like I'm underwater right now.
Okay, well, guess what? We'll get this party started really quickly.
Crack 'em if you got 'em, baby.
Crack him if you got him, son. Guys, we did it. We made it to football season. Preseason is done. The 53-man roster, I'm going to say set. Obviously, there's going to be stuff that happens between now and the start of the Sunday night kickoff game against the New York Giants. But we did it. We made it through the offseason. We made it through the preseason. And by golly, the next time we watch the Dallas Cowboys come out on the field, it's going to be Sunday night football against the New York football Giants.
Dun, 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 ba-bum, ba-bum,
dun, 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 dun,
ba-bum, ba-bum,
dun, dun.
We just make everybody wait 15 minutes, and then we just start freaking making very, very bad noise.
So how do you guys feel? Have you guys been – well, I'm actually – before we get into Cowboys news – I'm going to talk a little bit fantasy football, guys. This is my first night this week. I had a draft Sunday night, a draft Monday night, and then a draft last night. So fantasy football season's here. And that's just one more signal that we're ramping up for the 2023 regular NFL season. And my nipples are tingling.
My nipples are tingling too. I had my first fantasy draft last night. It was in football though, so that was that made my nipples tingle in a different way. Just kidding, it was fantasy football. Yes,
but Ad's drafting fantasy darts.
Yeah,
Ad, you said we were in the chat though. We both took two similar players.
Oh yeah, I picked up my boy Dakota Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. So those are my two main like 1-2 round punch, or 2-3. Sorry, I picked CMC as number one as my first.
Was that when we were talking about it? Was that a 2-quarterback league? Probably yeah. If you're taking
it's like
Dak Prescott
it's like
in the third round.
It's a 2QB league, but it's a super duper flex league. So like the second quarterback, you can be quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end.
Well, yeah, super flex. But everybody with super flex leagues, everybody there, their super flex is always a quarterback.
It's tough. Example. There's just so many gosh darn players out there. And I mean, like that get on your team. 3 wide receivers and then 2 flex positions. It's hard during season to pick people up. It's ridiculous. I hate it.
Yeah, well, you got to cut your own 53-man roster.
Yeah, man.
I'm all down for extending the amount of players that you have active week to week, but to keep like you got to cut benches in my opinion. So if you add a QB flex and it's not taking over and you have a super flex and a regular flex, then you have to have like, you know, a 5 bench or a 4 bench, depending what you're playing. Because, yeah, otherwise you run into this problem where guys can just start stashing people.
Yep.
And what we're really looking for is, like, some sort of, is the word parity? Parity. Like, I mean, if someone puts together a smashing team and their starters are killing it, then, like, more power to you. But you hate to see a person, you know, just shit the bed. You don't want to play against someone who eventually quits in week 8, and now you've got this player who's given up for the rest of the league. And to avoid that, keeping that allure of, hey, you might get a guy who can perform, he's on the waiver wire, and you know, I think that's good for fantasy football.
Yep, I've kind of weaseled all my, I used to be in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, felt like I was in like 8 or 9 leagues. And it was just too much because I would be that guy in a couple leagues that I wasn't doing good. I'd just be like, well, fuck this. I don't got a chance. But now I've kind of got them down to about 4 leagues where everybody is pretty invested no matter what, even if they're losing, because it's kind of like we've kind of made rules. Well, if you don't follow through, you're not going to be in the league the following year. But AJ, you made a great point. Some of the two of the leagues that I'm in, they're the hardest leagues to win because you have like 3 bench spots or something. Yeah. So it's like, if you get injuries or if you're trying bye weeks, you actually have to take your bye weeks into account because there'll be a time that you almost have to just take a loss because you can't drop any of those bench players because they're too good to drop. Like you'll have 2 of your studs both on a bye week and now you have to keep them both.
50% of my team is on a bye week, week 9, actually probably more than 50% of my team.
That's so you either plan to take that L or you make some moves. Yeah. It also makes trading more possible, right? Because
I wish I liked trading in fantasy football a bit more, and I think in a league where we like in our one league where it's a keeper league and we've been doing it for like 18 years, like there's a little bit more kind of
when you know people and talk to them, it's a lot easier to get a trade done.
What I won't do going into next year, and I'm only down to 3 leagues this year. I know, Anth, as I was correcting one of the cameras, you were talking about how many leagues you're in.
4.
Yep.
But like, 4, yep. Why do I want to be in fantasy? I don't gamble. I just like to have a little bit more investment into some other games. I want to cheer. Like, I can't help it. I'm going to draft people on the team that I'm watching every week because I want to cheer for them when I get it. And I don't, like, there might be a better player. This is why I'm also probably pretty bad at fantasy football now, is because if there are better options available, I'll still go with, like, who I want to be cheering for.
That's a Jerry Jones move.
That is a very Jerry Jones move.
Last thing I'll say about fantasy football before we get into our Dallas Cowboys is, since we've started the podcast, I used to be that guy that at 9:45 a.m. I'm sitting there and I'm watching Red Zone and then I'm watching the Sunday Nighter every time. Like I'm watching 8 hours or 9 hours of football. But since we've kind of done the podcast, usually we do a little prep work before the live stream and then after we do the post game. So I've noticed the last few years, like there's guys that emerge in fantasy that I don't even really know about because, well, let's just say I'm invested in the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I've gone from 5 teams. I just have 1. And like, you know,
2.
Well, if CanFan, I don't know if we can get that going. It's a little, we're getting a little to the crunch time. And so anyways, let's not waste time on that. But I'm just saying, potentially 2, but definitely only our 1 old school league.
And Bocce's already talking about the only draft that counts is next week's CanFan draft.
Okay. Hey, I sent out an email. I didn't get a reply back. So if anyone out there who was in the league last year. Obviously, I know you guys are in, but just email me and let me know. If not, we could set it up and see who shows up.
I mean, just send it out. Send out the bat signal.
We should.
Yeah, I don't want to kick out anyone, but if it comes down to it, we might just have to do like a brand new
10 draft, like a 10 person.
Yeah, yep. I don't know.
I could find some emails. All right, guys, 53 man roster. We cut down a couple surprises. I'm going to lead out with who is the biggest surprise for you guys not making the 53 man roster?
Oh, wow. I think honestly, Davis was really surprising for me. And it's not that, it's just because he had the history last year. I don't think that he underperformed. He certainly got outplayed, but I felt some of that was just like, hey, we know what we got. He's not going to be on the field. That was surprising. And honestly, McKeon too.
Yeah.
Sorry for taking two.
Two it up. That's a very ad move of you, but chew it up if you have to. Hey,
fuck you, dickhead.
I'm learning from the best.
Fuck you, dickhead. I would say Houston. I thought Houston, based on his camp and seeing him play, like I thought he was going to make the team.
But mm-hmm. whose spot's he taken?
I know.
As
I said it, guess what? I redact my statement.
We'll jump there. The guy you just mentioned, though, at Houston, we do have a problem with the team that he signed to. For me, the guy that I thought they were going to try to stash on the roster didn't even get cut. He got traded. I thought they were going to try. I thought Bossman Fat possibly carved a little niche as like the second or third nickel corner, right? I thought he had done enough in the preseason and some of the practices to warrant a spot, but they shipped him away.
Well, yeah, let's get deeper into that. But when we get to the section, because I think the smartest way for us to do this and just allow for like, us to kind of stay on track. Otherwise, we're going to be creating a memento style and for all what year was that? Anyways, memento style movie where or a Quentin Tarantino-esque movie where you're like, where did they start and where do they end? This is such an interesting story, but yeah, this is going to make sense all the way through. So, I figure let's just go I have the blog and the boys final depth chart up here, 53 man roster.
As of now,
it's also got a couple notes for the cuts that they're bringing back on. I don't know if that's already happened or if they're doing that in a couple days, but it's not the prettiest chart, but we don't need pretty here because you got us and we're pretty dudes. but yeah, starting with quarterback, our final three here, Dak Prescott, no surprise, Cooper Rush, no surprise. And then, I mean, out of left field, the Trey Lance trade that no one but Jerry Jones himself was aware of before it happened.
Which we chatted about a little bit, but we didn't really, it happened the day of the third preseason game, didn't it? Yeah. It happened day before. So we didn't have a podcast prior to that, but yeah, we didn't really talk too much about it. What are your guys' thoughts about the Trey Lance thing?
Go ahead. There is some talk on there. I mean, obviously that happens. You're always wondering what's going on. To me, I think it's an interesting move, and it's a good move because I think Jerry gets to say, look, I just traded a third overall pick for a fourth rounder. So there's a win. Brings in a guy who potentially just needed another setting and needed some new scenery. Maybe he does come out there and ball out. So I think Jerry just wins in that. And then he also can put a little pressure, whether it comes via media and just social media, you know, the Cowboys Nation. But basically he gets to put this kind of proxy pressure on Prescott, which is not real because I don't really think there is a chance, but it also just says, hey, if this guy balls out, he'll be playing football here. And also it leads to a trade value in the future if he performs in any sort of game this year and then has a good preseason next year. Are you able to trade him for a third round or second round pick? And now you've moved up because he's certainly not the future of the Cowboys. I would say that, but I don't hate the move.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime we are putting together a quarterback room that's not just relying on one quarterback for us.
You need at least one guy with goofy hair.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's that funny meme that's going around where Did Jerry Jones think that it was Patrick Mahomes and he just wasn't wearing his glasses?
Yeah.
Like that I thought that was pretty funny. But I mean, the QB whisperer Kyle Shanahan wasn't able to develop Trey Lance. Maybe it's a change of scenery. None of us know, and there's so much speculation. I like the move. It just shows that we're thinking that we need to have options just in case. I think on the layers of what we have, it allows us to possibly stash QBs for future trade value or future draft value or capital.
Capital,
depending on what shakes down this season. If Dak has a great season, nothing. If Dak has not a great season and we pitter out before the divisional, then possibly the Trey Lance thing becomes a little bit more real. I don't think he's going to – he's not there to be a backup quarterback. I think they brought him in to either help develop him and then trade him off or help develop him to take over the team in 2025.
Oh. So this is the only reason San Francisco traded Trey Lance and not Sam Darnold. They had an issue, right? They had a starting quarterback in Brock Purdy that they hope can be successful. Mm-hmm. Then they had these two dudes, Sam Darnold and Trey Lance, where they're like, holy shit, we have kind of a quarterback issue, right? Like, we don't need two quality guys that people could be cheering for to take over for our starter. The only reason Sam Darnold didn't get traded instead of Trey Lance, and I don't think it's because Sam Darnold outplayed him in preseason. I think it's because Trey Lance had higher trade value than Sam Darnold.
Absolutely.
The only reason they traded Trey Lance instead of Sam Darnold is because people were willing to trade for Trey Lance. They weren't willing to trade for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Sam Darnold's play, because everyone's like, oh, well, he couldn't even beat out Sam Darnold in the preseason. No, it has nothing to do with that. San Francisco knew that with Sam Darnold, they have a good enough backup quarterback. Why do you need a third backup quarterback? Why not trade one of them and get a fourth round pick and better your team next year? And I think Trey Lance was that guy. So does it pan out for Dallas? It definitely panned out for San Fran. They wanted to cut ties with them. They ate their losses. They cut ties with them. And now it's to be seen if Dallas ends up getting anything more than a substantial backup, because I don't think he's in town to compete with Dak Prescott at all.
Not this season.
I really don't.
Not this season.
I don't think even ever. I don't think he will compete with Dak Prescott. And I think his competition's against Cooper Rush in the next, I'm talking like 3 years. Yeah. I don't think he's taking over for Dak in next year or the year after. I bet you next year they extend Dak.
You think so?
Oh, they should. I mean, obviously, like you said, Ad, it depends how the season goes, but I'm all in on Dak this year, man. I really am.
Well, yeah. I mean, I said it on the 8 o'clock spot last night. I'm still a Dak fan. I might have a post last year's loss. I had some choice words for Dakota, but I still wore.
Yeah, we were wasted though.
I still wore my Prescott jersey to the preseason game. I'll wear my Prescott jersey to the opening season, and any live game we go to, I'll most likely be wearing my Prescott because, you know, he's our quarterback. I'm very optimistic. I want to support. I want to cheer. But
and you're a Dak rider. That's what you are.
Yeah. A big Dak rider up in here. But I mean, to have a position, like if you have the fundamentals and the mechanics, like a guy like Trey Lance, he did go number one. There was something good about him. Number three in the first round. Yes. Yeah. So he went third overall. And he's still young. So getting him behind someone like Dak Prescott, a veteran, Cooper Rush, a veteran, to learn and to grow. Would it be bad if we see him take snaps 3 years from now, 2 years from now? We still don't know what's going to happen in the next two seasons. We still don't know what's going to happen.
So Lance has got 2 years left on his contract. So if you're going to get him in 3 years,
right. You're making the decision.
You're making the decision by next season. Yeah, you're making the decision by next season, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, here's a question that came to mind because I think it's all up in the air, but we're all kind of agreeing that, like, there's no heavy competition here with that move. In fact, Rush is more of a competition at this point, I would say. That being said, would you rather have same trade but get Trey Lance in that third spot? Or who was the other guy? Fuck, I forgot his name.
I don't know. Do you mean Darnold? Drafting or trading?
Trading, sorry. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd rather Trey Lance because Trey Lance is that unknown. He's played, you know, a handful of games in the NFL. Sam Darnold, you know what you're getting. So at least with Trey Lance, we still don't really know. Last year, he was suited to be the San Francisco 49ers starter. He got hurt the year before. Same thing. He got hurt. So he's had his developmental issues. I got a little tidbit, though. He is teammates with a guy. He was college teammates with a fan favorite of the room of ours.
Who?
Do you know who?
Trey Lance?
Yeah, he was a college teammate with one of the guys.
Like
Hunter Lepke.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, they were teammates a couple of years ago.
I like that.
At North Dakota State, I think. I think that's where they were. Something like that.
Hey,
sorry, go ahead.
Finish here.
No, Ants was going to say I cut him off. We all cut each other off, but when Ants cut off.
Hey, if someone cuts me off, I'll just let it happen. I'll let you roll. I don't even know what I was saying.
I'm just going to hit some chat comments here for you guys before we move on to the next thing. So Bocce Eric says, everyone making a big deal about Trey because they got nothing else to talk about. He is no threat to Dak.
Proof.
Right now, anyways. We'll say right now for sure. Yeah. Definitely.
And he also says, if you were drunk when you said it, it doesn't count.
Good. I like that. That's words to live by.
Bandwagon Baba says, I think with Dak calling plays last game, they were checking him out for offensive coach.
Yeah, let's get it.
And then Jeremy Nello, I like this take. I think they will try and flip Lance value and hopefully get a first or second round pick for Lance.
Again, well, that's what AJ was kind of thinking.
Grab him and stash him, develop him. If you can show major progress and you have it, it's not a bad thing. And then more Bocce just wants some airtime, and we should definitely get Bocce on here.
Oh yeah, one time, definitely.
Why have we never? That makes zero sense. Now that I'm thinking about it, why has Bocce never been? If we end up doing the live fantasy draft, Bocce's sitting in on the draft.
I feel like we'll have to. So he has one comment. He goes, "They got Trey for the same reason you buy something at Costco. You don't need only because it's 90% off."
I mean, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, like, you let it sit until it spoils if you have to. But
yep, exactly. Yeah. But it was such a good deal. And the thing is, the stuff that the guy was drafted for third overall, that stuff hasn't changed. Like all the reasons he got drafted third overall, none of that's changed, right? He just hasn't had a chance to really play.
Exactly. Here's his. And you guys can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, and that includes Chad. But here's kind of his trajectory. He had the one season with San Fran where he was a starting quarterback. The next season, out for an injury. Then Purdy stepped up and took over. So he didn't really lose his spot because of poor play. He lost it because he had an injury, and then San Francisco felt that Purdy has more of the fundamentals that they're looking for in their offense.
Yeah.
But he's not so far removed from their original idea of what he could be. And then, you know, the injury happened and we've seen that happen before. It's about, is he going to bounce back and is he going to find a place? I mean, Dallas is a great, if you're going to sit out the rest of your rookie contract in hopes of getting somewhere, I think Dallas is a great place. It's a great team. You got lots of potential that if you get on the field for a couple downs, everyone's going to see it. So like you can make the most of your time in Dallas. And I mean, the guy's probably going to end up on another team after the Cowboys anyways. But this is kind of a win-win-win all around, except for, I guess, Will Greer, but he had a fucking excellent week.
I think
he got picked up. So Will Greer signed by or picked up by Cincinnati's practice squad. So he's still kicking about, which is sweet.
What's up, CanFanimaniacs? And thank you for listening to this episode of the Cowboys CanFan podcast. But if you're only listening, you're just getting half of all the gold. Come check us out on YouTube every Wednesday and Sunday, youtube.com/@CowboysCanFan, or just search Cowboys CanFan on YouTube or Google, or go to CowboysCanFan.com. You will find us every Wednesday and Sunday. We hope to see you there. Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So going into the next thing, so quarterbacks, right? Or sorry, Ad, you got one last thing?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and I forgot. Oh, could that have also been a big reason why Jura picked up a quarterback because of how bad that Seattle game was for our backups?
Probably.
Could that have weighed in on it?
I would. Yeah. I mean, I think Jerry was just looking at the fucking value, but I think if it would have made more sense to go with the guy who has the smaller, higher that
the smaller wiener.
No, that like the low, the high, the more average between his ceiling and his and his floor, because that Trey Lance has a massive ceiling, but we know that his floor could be fucking terrible, right? You're looking for a guy more like a Cooper Rush who's okay, he's going to come in here and play this consistency that we know.
The last thing.
Is it?
It isn't.
Don't say it if it's not.
But one of the things that we didn't really talk about here, like what, how, I want to know from your guys' side, how do you feel about Jerry not mentioning anything to Mike McCarthy?
Doesn't need to. Good
question. And not mentioning anything to your quarterback.
Doesn't need to.
You see how doesn't Jerry
need to, he doesn't need to ask Dak Prescott about shit. He doesn't, realistically. What are you going to say? Hey, do you care if I trade for a third overall pick? Like, I think maybe the Mike McCarthy thing is a little bit more interesting, but the Dak Prescott thing?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to say shit to Dak, to be honest.
Dak's a player. I would have talked to my coach. I would have even just asked my coach what he thought.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he did. This is all like what we're hearing. I don't think Mike come out and said, hey,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Mike came out, said he said he's not. That's how Jerry and Steven roll. I coach the team. They make the decisions.
Yeah.
Good. Came out and said that, and Jerry came out and said, yeah, they didn't know anything. The reason it started was Jerry Jones, there's video of him saying that he didn't tell
anybody. Okay.
And he doesn't need to, because it's, one, it's his team. The only thing is, a fourth-round pick, you can still get some decent players, but if Jerry's thinking that this guy possibly could be the next great thing, I mean, then pull the trigger, get him, and let the cards lie,
okay,
right?
Sorry. So, yeah, so this is...
Last thing?
No, but Boys in the Zone just kind of mentioning something, and I felt like I phrased it wrong to you guys.
Okay.
So Boys in the Zone, EJ Savage, our boy, he goes,
EJ, you don't another need, guy we got to get on soon. Yep.
You don't need to ask Dak before the trade, but apparently he didn't even hear it until after the media broke it. So,
okay, that's a little bit shitty then.
Yeah. And then just a couple last
depends. Couple. Was it an Adam Schefter where he gets it before Jerry even knows,
or Ian Rappaport?
Yeah,
Jerry makes the trade and they're already tweeting or sorry, xing it.
If you watch the pick is in the Roku doc about the draft this past there's a bunch about Ian Rappaport, and you could see him as the camera's on him, and then as things are happening, deals are going, he's like. It's just so good. He's probably my favorite character.
That's another conversation for another day.
In the thing.
On to running back. So we beat this Trey Lance with, we hadn't talked about it, so we had to just splooge everywhere with it.
And we're going to splooge. This is a splooge-worthy cast, okay? Just clean
last
up
thing,
after yourself.
Last thing. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Just give it on the count of three about the Trey Lance thing. On this.
I'm going to go like this. I'm teetering above.
Ad's always optimistic. I love
it. Yes. The reason I'm doing this is because it's already done and that's it is what it is.
That's billionaire mentality.
Yep.
It is. It's always good. Running backs. So this was one that we kind of, I'll say we talked about running backs quite a bit going into the season, and we weren't completely sold on our running backs room.
There's only one name on that list that I care about, though.
I would say out of all the positional groups in preseason, I was impressed with our running backs. Now that the three preseason games are done, I was impressed with Rico, Deuce, and crack Hunter with his last game. Like, crack if you got him. I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic about the running back room in the evenings up to the first game compared to what I was in April.
What changed you?
Well, the preseason, the guys, they all balled out. When they had the opportunities, when they were given the touches, they all played very well. Sure, it was against other guys as twos, but that's what we need. We just need guys when they are given the ball, they're going to excel. And I think all four of those guys minus, oh, we got to crack them, baby.
Crack them if you got them,
son. Just super impressed with the three guys that played in preseason. And shout out to Malik Davis, because we were Crash Davis fans. But the biggest
he's back on the practice squad, though.
Yep. The biggest takeaway from this is AJ's got to get a fresh new 42. And I want to know what color scheme are you going for that 42?
Well, that's the thing is I've kind of been having I think I have my offense. No, I have one of each offense. I don't know. I have a blue TP20. So I'm probably white's difficult because if I wear white, I have my
he has a white Diggs and a white CeeDee Lamb.
And my white Diggs is my party shirt.
He doesn't have a Thanksgiving. He doesn't have a Thanksgiving shirt.
Why not stick with
and
the,
your
the arm, blue
and your army in your service your service one was Randy Gregory.
Why not stick Randy to Gregory? the blue for your running backs? You got TP20 blue. Deuce Vaughn another blue. Your RBs are your blues.
Blue is safer.
It
absolutely
is.
You know what, decision to be made, because I'm also getting a Dono dub.
Got it.
Ooh, okay,
so
gotta do it.
I don't know, maybe I'll throw that out to chat and they can tell me what
Ben Pia says. You have to get it in Deuce's size too. Guess what, joke's on you, Ben, because he is
I am Deuce's size.
Well, and Deuce is a thick guy. Like, I think AJ's gonna be swimming in Deuce's jersey.
If I wore Deuce's jersey, I'd look like one of his girlfriends that just woke up in the morning and threw on his t-shirt. Hey, did you make coffee?
Deucey.
What are your guys' thoughts on these running backs though, guys?
So first of all, love that Cowboys are saying Lepke's our fullback. I mean, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. And I think Lepke, I just want to call him Lupin for something. Like, he feels like a werewolf to me for some reason.
Because he is.
I don't know.
Silent you.
Yeah, silent Lou. Okay, Lepke. I think he really nailed. He was doing things. He played in every preseason game. He was getting about, I don't know, six snaps or balls to him in the passing game each game, or, you know, at least that amount. So they were testing him. Didn't really stand out as anything incredible, but his last game really showed how they can utilize him. And that was really, I don't know, I think that's really what solidified his position. Also, when you look at these other three guys, Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, I mean, Deuce, we talked about him. He's really showed what he can do. His center of gravity is a lot more solid. And I think that's what I personally really overlooked was, like, yeah, he's certainly small. But these guys who are trying to tackle him, they still got to knock this little strong bowling ball over. And it's harder to do when someone's lower to the ground, right? So that was something. He's got a special place on the team. So I'm excited about seeing what they do with him. And Rico Dowdle, man, he came in each year. I'm looking for a handcuff player in fantasy football, just to bring it back. I'm looking for that guy who's like, oh, he's new. He's in his first or second year. He showed, when he was on the field, he showed promise. And I'm hoping that, you know, an injury or maybe he just wins out that position. And that's what I think I overlooked with Rico Dowdle. We knew he was good. I was just had such a heart on for Davis that I think I overlooked Dowdle. But then when he started playing and his consistency each game that he was in, like, nothing super fancy, nothing, like 30 massive 30 yard games. That's what Deuce is for. He came in and played a very solid position. So I honestly really do feel much more comfortable with the running backs, because instead of looking on the outside of the team for that RB2 who could come in and, like, Hunt or someone like that who could come in and fill that position, I think we had him all along, and that's Rico Dowdle.
I'm interested to see Dowdle's fantasy stock too, man, because no one's taking him right now in fantasy football. But if you look at the Cowboys last year, there Ezekiel Elliott's gone. There's a lot of fantasy, and I hate to go to fantasy football when we're talking about the roster, but it's how I think about it. I'm in fantasy mode right now. There's a lot of points and a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns for a guy on the Cowboys. Adam, and I'll be very impressed if it happens. Adam was saying Hunter Lepke could be one of the guys that vultures a lot of Ezekiel Elliott's touchdowns this year. That's a dude that no one's going to have in fantasy. Rico Dowdle, no one has in fantasy. I'm sure there's some people that took Deuce Vaughn, but it's really, I'm really interested to see how the split between these next three running backs, and I'm going to say running back because he's a guy that's getting the ball, but to see how these three guys split the loss of Ezekiel Elliott's production.
I appreciate you giving me my flowers or pre-flowers. you just need three of them to replicate Zeke's numbers essentially. So the three of them need to get 12 touchdowns, and the three of them need to get a combined of 883 yards or something around like that. So
very doable.
Very, very doable. And I think, you know, we're going to see TP20. I think Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn fit very well behind TP20. And then Hunter Lepke can help kind of shore up some of that tough yardage that Zeke had. And then even still, we have some other tight ends who could also play that that Ezekiel Elliott role if need be. And I think ultimately that's why we're not seeing McKinnon on the team anymore, is because they wanted to make room for their fullback option on the team.
Hey, McKeon, get the fuck out of here. That's what Jerry said to him.
Hey, McKeon, I don't even know how to say your name. Get the fuck out of my room.
Hey, McKeon, can I see your key for a second?
My key fob?
Then he just takes it and walks away.
Whips it out the window.
Do you guys ever hear that? Do you guys ever, just a quick history story here. Did you ever hear that story about Vladimir Putin meeting the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl champion? Forget who it was.
No.
Okay.
Lewis, maybe?
No, it wasn't Ray Lewis. You know,
Bill Flacco?
Story would be, it was in that time, though, obviously, one of those two Super Bowls. But he went and I don't know if he was in Russia or just at a place where there was, like, you know, presidential people, politicians. And anyways, he went and talked to Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin asked him to see his ring. So he took it off, gave it to Putin. Putin took it, put it on. Might be adding that part, but he took he just walked away, and the guy's like, "Hey, I want my ring." And the bodyguard comes up and goes, "What ring?"
I think it was a coach.
Was it a coach? Okay, yeah. It was someone.
I've heard that story. He put the Super Bowl ring on, or he looked at it, and just walked away.
I think you can get, like, I think that person can reorder a ring and you have to pay for it, but that's still fucking awesome.
If anyone's going to steal your ring, at least have it be someone that if you try to take it from them, they're going to
What are you going to do at that
killed.
Point?
Yeah,
you accept your loss. I remember when I was 14 at a party, these older kids came up to me and one of them took my hat. And he's like, "This is my hat now." And I was like, "Okay, well, I guess it's your hat now." Luckily, he said he was just joking and gave it back to me. But I was like, "Well, me too.
So do you mean that was my hat that he probably took?
My hat? I used to steal all your shit. I had hand-me-downs from you.
Yeah.
One thing that we were discussing was the departure of McKeon. I think Lepke had a big part in that because he can block. And one reason that you're keeping McKeon on, not just that's his sole thing, but he had the ability to come in and be a blocking tight end.
Yep.
Now
he was in the fullback spot too. They would put McKeon in the backfield quite a bit as a lead blocker.
Yeah, so you know, you think about it, I thought 53 is a lot of players, but they do have to crunch numbers.
Oh, yeah, man.
And so it's just, unfortunately, it's it comes down to it. And with Lepke being able to do a potential running threat, definitely a catching threat, and also being able to block, he just has that edge on McKeon. And, you know, hate to see the clone zone lose two members, but like any good sitcom, you recast and you come back stronger season three now.
And word on the street is, Jeremy Nello just said McKeon is on the practice squad. So I don't know they re-signed him, but he was still didn't make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, exactly. We could see him, but
the,
I doubt it.
For the clone zone, FB stands for Fringe Boy, so Hunter Lepke could possibly get kind of amalgamated into the clone zone.
Oh, he's clone zone. I'm taking Lepke's kind of, he's Fringe Boy,
and
clone zone.
If AJ's rocking a 4-2 back here, you know your boy's going to be rocking a 4-3 Lepke style.
I love the number 43.
Yeah, it's great. No one has it.
No, it seems like it's such a 1950s football number.
Well, when we used to do...
Hey, C43, C.
Yeah.
When we used to make... I don't know why Kilo's yelling, no. Maybe because McKeon's on the practice squad.
Sex bots are taking over?
Yeah, possibly. No, not at all, but he's giving us a Darth Vader. No!
The clone zone's breaking up,
yeah.
Probably.
Oh, that's possibly, yeah.
Kilo's not stoked about.
But when we used to make Madden created players, and Anthony and I would make, like, him and myself and then our older brother, Age was our fullback at number 45. He was always blocking for me because I was number 38, the running back.
Hey, man.
Little lore for you guys, you know?
I'm excited to see how they use... Deuce and Hunter, those are two skilled backs, multi-purpose running backs, and it's just going
to
be exciting.
So jersey break. So Alex has to buy a Deuce Vaughn, and then he said he's buying a Dono Dub. So I'm doing a Lepke. Who are you? And then I also have another one I'm going to have to buy. Who are you buying, Anth? You were going to buy an agent zero.
I was going full Overshown, and now I'm probably going to wait till next year because I have a feeling he's coming out next year with zero on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just going to happen. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold off to get Overshown. I'm thinking maybe a Tyler Smith jersey, to be honest.
You were talking about it last year.
Tyler Smith or possibly even a Zach Martin. I want to get myself an O-line jersey because if you ever see a guy walking around in an O-line jersey, you're like, this guy's a fan.
Yeah, you know they fuck.
You know they fuck. So I'm probably going to go Tyler Smith just because he's going to be on the team for probably the longest. So 73's up there for me.
That's good. A quick question for chat who's out there. If you remember who won during our draft weekend, we did that jersey contest. Someone won. I don't remember exactly. I can go back and look, but if you guys know, just let us know who it is so we can reach out to them. We did call them out, but never heard back. So I don't know if they won and got about an hour of our material and said, no, this is enough. I'm out. But
not worth the jersey.
Not worth the jersey. Let us know because I want to add that onto this order. We want to know what they want. In the event that no one picks it up, we'll have to do some sort of raffle.
Goes back off the raffle.
I personally can eat the brunt of this because I set it up, but I just can't. I can't have a giveaway and then not give it away. But we did say we were going to wait till this time anyways because we wanted to make sure people were on the team and we were able to get the numbers that they were going to be. So
yeah,
I will say this: Jayron Kearse just announced he's changing to number one. EJ Savage mentioned it earlier on the chat, but I saw it. So he
Boss Man Fett's not even. I mean, his bed's not even cold, and Kearse is just fucking
coming in as number one. Kearse says number one.
I'm too.
You don't trust that number one?
No, I don't trust switching your jersey number when you had two good seasons as 27.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I like 27 too.
Yeah. Kearse will spit at your feet and be like, what the fuck ever, man?
It's really risky.
Do you guys want to know what my other jersey that I'm going to go for this year?
Yeah, let's hear it and then let's move on.
Do it.
Well, I want to take a guess. Closest one to the person, I'll
probably Trey Lance.
How'd you know?
Offense or defense?
Is it actually?
Yeah. No, of course not.
I think you just changed it.
No. And Michael Parsons. I was going to buy a Michael Parsons jersey. That's an easy one.
I mean, that's always the one I didn't have.
I have my CeeDee Lamb. I have my T. Diggs. Then I have my fullback to the running back jersey. My Ezekiel Elliott Thanksgiving jersey is going to get put up on the wall as a retirement jersey.
You mean your Gilmore jersey up there?
Gilmore? No.
Well, he's 21.
Yeah. Actually, can I get my name card? Can I get you to give me a name card that says Gilmore so I can just reuse the jersey? Fuck that shit, bro.
Yeah, Randy Gregory is the worst purchase for me.
Bad purchase. But I will do it. I'll probably do it because I think Anth has a Micah in the services jersey.
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't?
I have a blue Micah and a Thanksgiving Day Micah.
Who's your service salute to services jersey?
Diggs, baby.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I'm going to do my Micah in the services one, I think.
Okay, sweet. So we got our jerseys sorted out. Next up, we have wide receivers who they kept six, which we kind of, we've been saying this for the last bit, at least since we went down to training camp. You got CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, Jalen Tolbert, who's been the surprise of camp to me, Kevontae Turpin, and Jalen Brooks, the seventh round stud. That's your six wide receivers, and I'm feeling pretty good about it, guys. I'm feeling way better about this six going into week one than the six we fielded last week going into week one.
Yeah, I mean, if you just cut it off at Lamb, Cooks, and Gallup and have any of those other three receivers that were playing for the Cowboys in the preseason, I'd be thinking that we've upgraded this position already. But now you add Tolbert, who, without watching the preseason, you might be like, ugh, what the hell is he doing at number four? Really came on to play, had a noticeable growth. Maybe it was simply maturity and confidence. Whatever it is, keep doing it. And I'm sure pressure too. Like, you know, you're fourth. You don't have to step up. And if you happen to outplay Michael Gallup, even better. Turpin, love his speed. Hopefully we get to see him be utilized more. He is in that fifth position. And then Brooks, he played well enough. He was on our radar and in a lot of other people's radar too. So I'm pretty happy with this wide receiver group. I think who was is it Durden?
He blew his ACL.
His right. Name was Tyler Durden.
Yeah, I know it was, but he might have he might have had a chance of beating out Brooks.
You think so?
Well, yeah, I think that he was playing pretty damn well.
I thought Houston would have been over Brooks and Brooks would have been practice squad, but Brooks showed up.
There was probably five guys fighting for that sixth spot, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a bunch of good guys, some undrafted guys, a couple guys that we had drafted a few years ago. One of the main ones, Simi Fioko, he gone, man.
Yeah,
Simi Fioko did not make the team.
But like, look at how quickly Houston was picked up from a different team. Simi Fioko hasn't been picked up yet.
The Giants. Now that we're in wide receivers, we can talk about it. And this is the thing. There's a couple guys that we'll talk about. And since we're on wide receivers, we're going to lead out with it. Dennis Houston asked to stay on the practice squad by the Dallas Cowboys, opted to go play for division rival, the New York Giants. And I don't blame the guy. I don't. I mean, having that revenge, having that chip on your shoulder, it's just an extra driving point. Okay, you guys don't want me. You wanted me on this practice squad twice. I'm going to go try to make this team. And then if I make it, you got to deal with me twice a season for the next 10 years. So I don't fault the guy for going to division rival because I'm vindictive enough that I would probably do the same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, he doesn't. Oh, I mean, you look at it. There's not a place for him on the roster. And he feels like he has a place to be playing in the NFL. So if he's able to get picked up by the
practice squad, though, he's still on the practice squad for the Giants.
Yep.
This is the thing. He had the opportunity. This is the thing. He had the opportunity to be on the practice squad with the Giants or with the Cowboys, but opted to go to the practice squad of the Giants. So it's not like he's getting in a game day roster spot.
Totally. But does he think, obviously him jumping over, he probably feels he can actually make the actual squad for the Giants. Like what's the Giants wide receiver room look like compared to the Cowboys? Do we want to talk about that?
Well,
no,
not yet. Next week.
Well, coming into the prep for the
Giants Week One game, we'll talk about it next week.
I did bring it up. I would just say that the Giants' depth is not really. They drafted Jalin Hyatt, so I think they're going to be spending any sort of time on the field with him. And the fact that he's not Houston went to the practice squad. This is a change of scenery move. Again, it's
yep.
He spent some time in Dallas. It probably is not going to get any better from him. He did put in a very respectable preseason, and he didn't make the team. So, in my opinion, like if you have an option to go somewhere else, let's go see what happens. I don't think either one decision right now beats out the other. It's kind of either or, and he probably, you know, made a move for him. Maybe he wants to go fucking spend a year in New York.
Well, I mean, Boots on the Ground says division rivals picking up our players for the same reason Cowboys got Trey Lance, to gain inside knowledge on your rival. Jeremy Nello says it was a business decision. Giants wide receivers could easily get beat out, which I kind of agree more with that one. He's probably looking at the depth chart on the Giants and be like,
well, Cowboys,
the Cowboys don't believe in me. I feel like I have a fighting chance to come in there and compete against some of the guys that are already slated on the roster list.
And if you make the fucking team, you get to try to dunk on the Cowboys twice a year. I'm saying this. These guys are hyper competitive dudes. You don't think you want me? I'm not good enough to make your six-man wide receiver crew? Well, let me go to the Giants, and you better hope that I don't suit up because I'm going to burn your bitch asses. So, I mean, I think everything that was just said, I think it's a combination, fresh start, ego, better chance. Just it's all balled up into one possibly.
Yep. And the only time, like, you would expect an NFL player to come in and be a competitive player unless your name was Marcus Mariota.
I'll ask you guys this about, since we're on wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb's stat line this year, because I don't think we've done very many predictions. What is CeeDee Lamb's stat line in the 2023 season, saying that he doesn't get injured? Say he plays all 17 games.
Yep. Well, speaking of this, our boy EJ Savage, a.k.a. Boys
crack
of the Zone,
crack him
if you got him, he put out a post, I think it was maybe a week or so ago, and my guess, it keeps fluctuating, but I'm thinking he's going to be plus 120 catches, plus 1,400 yards. And this is where I really fluctuate, is the 8 to 12 touchdowns, because I know 8 is not an improvement and 12 is what I want to see him do. I just think there's more opportunity for other players to get that red zone ball than CeeDee Lamb.
You got to set on the average then.
10.
There you go.
And I'd be happy with that.
1,400, 120 definitely. Catches, 1,400 yards, 10 tutties. Okay.
Oh, that's
12.
That's
great. I'm going to say 12. I'm going to say 12 because that's what my heart says.
I'm going with AJ. Those numbers are pretty much exactly what I'm right in the ballpark with that. If he hits that shit.
I mean, that's an awesome season. And you also consider the surrounding cast. Like, I know last year CeeDee was the number one option on every single play. You look to CeeDee to throw the ball. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year.
Yep.
On the other side of that, you look at, okay, then the defense can't scheme heavily towards CeeDee's side. Does that open up more opportunity? So if he ends up with just doing better than because last year was no fucking knock. Like, that was a good season. I just want to see it through starting in week one to week 18, but through all 17 games. Whereas I think he got off to a slow start and then started to really perform.
Don't forget, he didn't have a starting quarterback for the first five and a half weeks or whatever it was. Yep.
Very true.
Six and a half weeks.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. I was going to say, I would be happy with 12 touchdowns, 1,200 yards, and then plus 120 for catches.
Yeah. Wait,
1,200 yards.
How many 12, catches?
12 touchdowns and plus 120 catches.
Okay.
He has 120 catches. He better have fucking more than 1,200 yards.
Not if he has 12 touchdowns.
I guess red zone threaten it up. Yeah. All right, so we're happy. I think this might be one of our positional groups that we're super happy with.
Absolutely. I mean, like, the minute Brandon Cooks made it to the team, we all breathed a sigh of relief. Everything else after that has just been icing on the poop cake.
I think we all started to feel pretty good when we started to see the production from Jalen Tolbert, and the fact that Jalen Tolbert could look like wide receiver number three over wide receiver number four. That I also think was like a big turning point for us feeling good about the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting. Gallup and Tolbert.
So yeah, it's going to be good. Gonna be good. Next up, I'm assuming we got tight ends.
Ooh, now this, I mean,
Fergalicious. Fergalicious.
Very good. Jake Ferguson, Peyton Henderson.
That was something.
Luke Schoonmaker. And you know what? These were the three I had in mind since the get-go.
Yep.
I don't know that they're listed in order, and I don't know that we really have an order. And I don't, again, the tight end position, I don't really look at it as I want individual stats. I want them to perform as a group and kind of do better than what the tight end group did last year, including Schultz, right? So if they do that, we have an improvement. And from what I saw, especially week three, where, you know, Schoonmaker got that big, tough touchdown, where, might I point out, we had the entire Schoonmaker roster come out and like that post. Got a little comment from the Schoonmaker himself. you know, I just
set sail, boys.
Set sail. I think that made me believe in him even more. So.
Yeah, the fact that we're
basically best friends with him now.
The fact that Boots called him over at camp and he came in and we were like, we were basically touching Scoony, and then his entire Scoon clan came and commented on one of our reels makes me a massive Schoonmaker fan.
Oh, absolutely.
But the biggest surprise of this, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about possibly rolling five tight ends. Then you have the injury with JSJ and then McKeon released. Am I worried about it? No, because we got Lepke. I think these are the three good dudes. I think it's kind of all, I think they're all 1A, 1B, 1C. And that's not, none of these are in the order of that. I think they're all good enough to start. And I think they're all good enough to take over games. I think it's going to be one of those things that if you have any of these guys, again, I'm going back to fantasy football.
Do you have
any of these guys on your fantasy football squad, it might be frustrating because 1 week they might have 20 points and another week they might have two.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be go with the hot hand. And at sometimes you might have all three of them on. At sometimes you might have a guy that it does block or blocks a little better, catches a little better, or it's just the better athlete. So it's going to be based on their skills and their traits, but I'm excited to see the tight ends, the mini clone zone.
Jeremy Nello says John Steven was probably taking Hendershot's spot if he didn't get hurt. What do you think about that?
I think maybe he would have been.
I think there was a few injuries in the preseason that obviously saved some guys' roster. But look, that's how fucking razor thin some of these decisions are. Almost a coin flip, and I know no one wants to say that that's what it comes down to, but sometimes you're in a room and it's majority rules. And that's essentially a coin flip if it's like a, you know, 5-6 vote or something like that. I did want to just mention this real quick. Schoonmaker has major child Disney star vibes with his handsome good looks and,
oh, yeah,
and his just his, like, I don't know, athletic build.
That's why Jerry drafted him.
AJ came when he scored.
Oh yeah, I did. I released. That was months of release. Just wait.
No. But I was pretty jacked up too. When Scoony got in the end zone, I was pretty jacked up.
I was just thinking while you were talking, and I kind of started just thinking like, oh, there's a potential
that we're gonna buy Schoonmaker jerseys or what?
Well, I mean, look, that's another,
that would be a midseason buy. Or
that's
what?
That's another conversation for another day. We could have what is it? Three wide receivers and two tight ends. Is that kind of like what the max said? I guess maybe you could have four wide receivers and two tight ends.
But so put it this way: you have five. Yeah, you have five linemen, right? Every play and a quarterback. So you got six guys, and now you have five spots for whatever you want to do. So you could do three tight ends, two wide receivers. You could do. If you're going to max out, you could do three tight ends, one wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be three tight ends and two wide receivers would be with all the guys on.
And GR Network just said I'm calling these guys. I don't want to change the name Clone Zone, but this might be the name of the new season for the Clone Zone is Cerberus. Is it Cerberus?
Is that the three-headed dog?
That's that three-headed dog from hell, because I see a very close range, and it's much above average for tight ends. For at least, obviously, Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot show that they can go out there, catch a ball, run hard. I think Luke showed that specifically in the last game of the Fringe preseason. So think about this: like, we got three guys who can catch a ball. Like, they are catching threats. All three of them are legitimate catching threats. If you throw the ball to them, they you don't have to worry about them having soft hands and not being able, or maybe it's hard hands in this case, but you know, they'll hard be able to receive hands. The ball and get a first down. So it really gives a lot of options for how you place them out on the field and who can catch a ball. And you can open up the field for Dak and have someone going to be there. If we need 7 yards, I'm pretty confident we're going to be able to get that.
If Ferguson, Hendershot, and Schoonmaker are the three-headed hell dogs. Does that make Lepke the balls of the dog? Because he's in the backfield there, and he can kind of come in and be a...
Either the balls or the butthole.
I got to get renowned on my whatever Greek mythology or whatever that is, but there is probably a name for
the
for
balls
in there.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I like it.
So the three-headed dog's butthole.
don't keep my boy. Out. And when we're talking the jersey talk, like yeah, Scooney, because of the amount of like CanFan love he showed, definitely puts a possible third option there.
I'm looking to spend a bill on jerseys.
Billion bucks, baby. Let's do it.
No, just one. One, well, actually, it depends on what the exchange rate is for Canadian dollars, but I'm looking to spend 100 Canadian dollars on jerseys. And so if three jerseys from where we get them.
I was going to say where you get your
hey, I mean.
Someone's getting his jerseys from China.
We get them from a place where you can buy them online. That's all I'm saying.
You definitely ain't getting them on NFLshop.com.
No, because I made his jersey.
He's going to come with a fucking Deuce Vaughn jersey, and the letters are going to be all sized differently.
Just spray paint.
Yeah.
Just spray paint. Kays, what do we got up next? Tight ends to offensive line?
That's right.
So the one thing I'll lead out with this, the one thing I like about the four T's and a Z is if any of our, or if a few of our T's go down, don't worry. We can substitute them with another because we kept TJ Bass on the squad.
There we go.
So we got Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith, Tyler Biadasz, Zach Martin, Terrence Steele, Matt Waletzko, Austin Richards, and TJ Bass. Not too upset about this. I like the big dogs are looking pretty good here.
Yeah, and I think there's never been a question about our front five. I do feel worried about the reserves. Matt Waletzko, however he plays, the dude's going to fucking bust his shoulder out in the first game that he plays.
Wingspan Waletzko?
Wingspan Waletzko. I mean, I really hope they are. And this is our non-medical opinion. It's
we're not WebMDing here.
If you are a 7 foot tall monster, your wingspan's also 7 feet. You get your arm out and someone's torquing that.
Someone's clipping you.
I mean, that's a lot of torque, baby. And so maybe they train him to keep his long arms inside.
Hey, well, let's go with the T-Rex arms.
And if you're a doctor and we're
get
wrong,
that man in jiu-jitsu.
But
get that man in jiu-jitsu because they teach you the T-Rex arms.
Goddamn condor wings just flying out there.
Yeah, well, let's go. What do you think you're doing? You're going to try to drop in some fucking boys on some sort of airstrip here? Get those arms in.
But besides that, guys, we also moved Josh Ball, another guy to IR who was kind of fringe making the team. There was a few dudes. I mean, our offensive line, I'll be honest, our offensive line did not look good in training camp. And we're all hoping that it's because our defensive line is just that bad. Yeah. We hope. I mean, and by bad, I mean
Michael Jackson bad.
Michael Jackson bad. Like some badass motherfuckers. That's what we're hoping.
But the offensive line being bad is not what the type of bad that we want.
No. The offensive line did not look good is how I'll leave it. And I hope it's because our defensive line. Crack him if you got him. And I just hope this defensive line is Michael Jackson bad.
I think the interesting thing, though, is, and it was kind of obvious, is awesome Richards. I want to see him out there and perform. I mean, wouldn't that be nice to see that he can come in and play a respectable backup position? This fifth round pick, was he?
Fifth round pick.
So, I mean, like that would be great. He made the team. They obviously saw something in him. But what we got, well, let's go Richards and Bass or Bass right now, Bass as our backups. I mean,
BS.
Let's go, Seabass. Kick his ass, Seabass.
Yeah, it's pretty thin, and it's
his ass
certainly
is thin, or is it just
no? The offensive line should shouldn't be concerning. Always the upside, though, with offensive line, as much as it is scary, there's always going to be that 36 or 37 or 38 year old player out there who you can rank, who will come play for another $5 million. So
Mike McCarthy might suit up, throw a helmet on, get out there,
fucking the rock style.
You know, we saw that with Peters last year. There's even there's opportunities there that if something big and bad does happen, I do think that offensive line might be one of the more easier positions to plug really quick. It might cost you some money, of course, but those options are available.
Well, you know that the starting five, someone's getting hurt. It's just, that's just how it rolls. Yep. That's how it happens. That someone's getting hurt. So yeah, we'll hopefully our depth's there, and if not, get to the free agent market, baby.
Jeremy Anello says if something happens to Tyron, most likely Tyler Smith moves to left tackle and Bass moves to left guard.
Okay, but then what if Tyler Smith gets hurt? Like before, what if Tyler? Anyways, there's so many options. In a fantasy world, nobody's getting hurt, but let's just hope.
Grade 7 Network says Jason Peters' greatest experience could have played a role for Tyler Smith.
Yeah.
I think this, for offensive line, you need at least two guys who can play swing, and one of those guys,
tackles.
Yeah, and one of those guys needs to also be able to kick into center. So if you have that covered, you should be good enough to go out there and play game to game. And then if
could you look at this? I don't know who is our backup center right now. Is it Bass? Is TJ Bass our backup center? Like if Biadasz goes down, who is our backup center?
Well, Anthony, I don't think anyone has an answer for you right now.
No. Okay. They don't know. Interesting. Because you're right. You hope that you have a guy that could hop in and play center. Hunter Lepke, I guess, going in at center.
Zeke Elliott's coming back from the Cowboys.
The Cowboys trade a fifth round pick for Zeke Elliott to play center.
Well, that's our offensive line. I mean, look, we got probably one of the most solid five starters in the league, and we might have some of the worst depth in the league.
Let's see what happens. The good thing about it is when you take out one guy and you put in, say, an Austin Richards to replace a whoever, you got him. He has a good supporting cast.
Exactly.
When we saw these guys at training camp, they were with fucking Josh Ball and Hoffman and, you know, a bunch of guys that weren't going to make a team.
Hoffman, that shit disturber.
Guys that probably aren't going to make NFL rosters ever, yeah. Right? So it's we have to see how these guys do when they're with four other really good offensive linemen.
Yeah, and probably every position obviously deals with this, but the line could potentially be affected more in that if your supporting cast for that position are holding their weight, you'll have a better opportunity of being able to do what you need to do because it's such a tight and quick moment. It's like, you know, 3 or so seconds or less of impact time. Whereas if you're out there on the field and someone on the left side of the cornerback on the left-hand side of the field fucks up, well, you're on the right side of the field, so it's not really going to be affecting what you're doing. They still might get the down whatnot, but it's not affecting your play. If the guard fucks up, the center fucks up, the tackle fucks up, and you're doing your job, you could still it could still fuck you up because now suddenly you get double-teamed or, you know, whatever happens. And you never want to be double-teamed, let me tell you that much.
Well,
unless you're on OnlyFans.
And Chuma Edoga could be coming back.
That's the note says. So the note says Chuma Edoga was a roster cut Thursday, but is expected to return to the team after a bit of roster gymnastics by the Cowboys. Josh Ball was moved to infrared.
Infrared. He's out for season. He's gone.
All right. So offense, gents. Happy, sad.
Yeah. I'm good with the O.
I'm just so damn ready
to watch football. Meaningful football.
I'm so damn ready to see that O phase. Oh.
Well, it's official.
Oh.
It's official. Moving on to defensive ends.
Micah Parsons made it.
Micah Parsons is a defensive end.
I love it.
That's official.
Then a squad. That's almost super Scion to me there, boys.
Read it
Micah off Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dorrance Armstrong, Sam Williams. Sam Williams and Dante Fowler Jr. I like it.
We got two juniors there. Sam Williams Jr. and Dante Fowler.
Five war dogs right there, and I love it, man.
That's right. I mean, look, all of those guys on the field are a threat. Dante Fowler, yes, he's getting up there in age, but when he was on the field, he never hurt us, and he had some good stats last year. I just hope that if he repeats what he did last year, that's what I'm looking for. And that's great that he's fifth. I mean, Armstrong, I've never really had, he's never been a big talk about newsworthy player, but he's just solid.
Yeah, Doro.
Comes solid to play football.
Yep.
And
he plays, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's behind Parsons and Lawrence, of course, in the depth. But to be number three, that's great and impressive. And, yeah, I think this defensive end group is
solid
like a rock.
I wouldn't want to be the quarterback going up against these guys, man. No. Honestly, these guys are dogs. They are dogs.
Looking tough.
Okay, well, I was just seeing.
I love it that they finally put Micah just at. He's a defensive end in my mind. He is. Yeah. He's an edge rusher. Well, he's an edge rusher.
And you can drop him back, but well, if he's playing 80% of his.
Speaking of Micah, so I was going to. I caught a little bit of the Cowboys huddle, our friends over at the Cowboys huddle.
And shout out.
And I saw our another one of our boys, Paul, who was in the chat. And
Sup.
Yeah, and I don't know if he was just saying it, but I'm going to take it as real. He said he was talking with Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn mentioned that when they were talking about the linebacker situation, reminding that Micah Parsons is going to be pulled in for linebacker duties when needed, shifting him around between defensive end and linebacker to kind of help hold that hole, which is why we're going to see the linebacker chart. You get rid of these people, or this person gets injured, who's there to cover them? Well, obviously, Micah Parsons, depending on what type of scheme they're going to run, is going to fall back into that role.
But, yeah, so even if you take Micah Parsons, put him in linebacker, you got Lawrence Armstrong, Williams Fowler. I'm happy with those guys just at defensive end. So
Ears back, get the passer. The greatest thing about DeMarcus Lawrence, the guy is the best run-stuffing defensive end in the NFL.
And
CFLs, baby.
That video I sent you guys, DeMarcus Lawrence versus just another guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking dummies him.
Yeah.
So good.
And he doesn't even, like, smash him.
No.
Barely just probably hit him. He probably just kind of pushed him and, like,
yeah.
That'd be him. DeMarcus Lawrence. So the video is a guy, there's just some random fuck holding a
coach.
A pad. Yeah, coach. Well, assistant whatever he is. Junior assistant. Intern bitch holding boy. A bag, bitch boy, and DeMarcus Lawrence sends him to next year, and it's great. It'd be like if any of us was holding the bag, and I'd get up and just be like, I'm never washing these knees ever again. I'm keeping these scrapes on me forever.
It'd be all three of us holding the bag, and we'd be smashed back, and we'd say, thank you, D-Law.
Thank you, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Well, okay. So this defensive end, I don't even know if there's much else to say because that we're set. I love it. Even if there is an injury on these guys, one of these guys, fuck, I hope it's not Micah. But if there is an injury, we're pretty good. We're still set up to have some success.
Don't say it.
Hey, man, I'm going to say it. I have to say it. There's going to be injuries. It's the NFL.
And I would never settle for being satisfied with this. But when you start your depth with Parsons and Lawrence, does it really matter what comes after?
Yeah, no. Right.
We're just lucky that we're lucky. We're fuck that defensive end crew is scary, man.
And what about these D tackles? Now I don't think this is in order.
Well, yeah, I was gonna ask you earlier when we saw running backs, and I saw Deuce Vaughn was number three on that chart. There, I was like, is this official or is this just someone thinking?
Deuce Vaughn is three, though.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Oh, Deuce Vaughn has been put on. But it doesn't mean that he's going to be. I don't think that they're going to be using him as third down back. I think we got a 2B to a 2A 2B scenario.
Right. I was just in this lineup when we just said that for this lineup we don't know if this is the actual order or not.
Well, go to the depth chart that he has open, and he'll tell you where they're unofficially have Deuce Vaughn right now.
Guess what?
Everyone has him at third, dude.
It's ESPN.
He's not ahead of Rico Dowdle as his second down back or as your RB2.
Why don't you find us another and that you can't create a website and then
put instead this. Of Simon,
check out my GeoCities Dallas Cowboys website.
I'm gonna start calling you instead of Simon Says. I'm gonna call you Adam Says.
I can't believe you would even put that in the same name.
There's a depth chart with Vaughn is third. He's the third running back
off of a blog. I was just asking confirmation.
That's not a blog. That's ESPN.
What that's ESPN. That's the actual depth chart the Dallas Cowboys submitted yesterday.
But it doesn't matter. We're not
just saying.
You're getting all caught up.
I'm the most calm one here.
No, you're getting I'm saying you're getting caught up in the ones and twos out of it all. Dang, you know Mike McCarthy doesn't play with ones and twos.
No, Mike McCarthy sees that TP20, Rico Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn as all just running backs. He doesn't see them as
totally.
1, 2, 3.
See, that's a better argument than saying that he's not the third on the depth chart.
I've been pretty consistent with my argument.
Okay. Defensive tackles.
Mozzie Smith, the big fucks that look like they like to have.
I do like seeing Mozzie Smith working on some hand movements and doing some combat training with Micah.
Exactly. And we have to talk Mozzie Smith. Let's just read off this list and then we'll jump right
okay,
to that.
So
I want to hear more about what
defensive tackle, Mozzie Smith, Jonathan Hankins, Osa Odigizuwa,
Double O,
Junior Fioco, Chauncey Goldston, and our boy Neville Gallimore.
Which
Canadian boy?
I was so glad because originally, yeah, he was left off. I didn't see his name, and I was like, oh shit, Gallimore didn't make it.
He made it. He had a good camp, man.
Yeah. So, when he was hammering those fucking in those drills when we were down there, it's like, okay, Gallimore. I felt like, okay, Gallimore has to make
it. Was it Gallimore or Golston that we were saying was moving super fast?
Gallimore.
Yeah. That he is very fast. If he can just put together whatever it is that he's missing to make him that next level, I mean, fuck, he's someone who could be scary out there for a defensive tackle.
I will give us props for being able to pronounce Osa's name finally.
Osa,
all of us.
Because,
baby.
I still
double
love
O's
double
good
O
too, though. Double O still. I like double O also.
But it's safe.
Adam, you were talking about Mozzie Smith and him working with Micah Parsons.
So Micah Parsons offseason was doing a lot of like combat training or boxing just to work on his hands. And you now see Mozzie Smith
just to get ready for his UFC career.
yeah. Punch it. No, he was just he flat out said, "Hey, I'm trying to do other things to make. To shore up on my weaknesses," and being good with your hands in a boxing setting, obviously you're able to be quicker. You have better reflexes, and Mozzie Smith as a defensive tackle and what he needs to do, getting in there and being good with your arm movements is a big component of being on the line. So seeing him work out with Micah, just you obviously having a guy like Micah bring somebody like Mozzie Smith under his wing, not only can help bring the mentality of that player up, but I also think, okay, great. Here, you're working on these things. You're trying to shore up on something that's absolutely important in a defensive tackle position, even though I've never played defensive tackle in my life. I'm just assuming that hand movement is very important.
Do you think UFC fighters or boxers work on defensive tackles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They go to the local high school and they start taking they start doing like some swim and some swim and rip moves.
No, they're just hitting. They're just hitting the sled.
Yeah.
Actually, MMA, MMA, that could work. I mean, tackling, like if you're not a, and we're going to cross sports here a bit, but if you're not a predominant wrestler, I'm sure there is football drills, defensive drills that would help you as a fighter.
The drills that they do to help increase speed and muscle reaction.
And power.
So what I like about this boxing is it's more of, obviously you're not punching and there's a lot of that hand combat, so that's one thing, but it's also about training the brain to be faster with its connection to your muscles, right? One thing I think that I noticed with Mozzie and the boxing could help in two ways, and I'll explain that in a second, I think.
Ooh.
But is he's a little slower off the gun than everyone else when the ball gets hot. He's noticeably just a step off when he goes. So either A, this can help with his reaction so that he starts getting off quicker and makes that impact with the O-line. So he's getting off right on their chest.
Hey, what? Grow up, Ant.
Or
fucking AJ grow up. Just always throws them up, and I try not to laugh, but it's funny.
Fucking grow up.
Hey, I love it, and you know,
yeah, we know you love it, but grow up.
The other thing that it could do is it could also just, if he isn't going to get off the get his load off quicker.
If he's not going to get off.
He's not going to get off quicker. Then it could help with his hands so that when he does make contact, it won't matter that he's slower to make that impact. He's going to be able to swim around or move the player where he wants to move them. So either way, I think that's something great to see. Whether or not it actually works out, I mean,
look,
you got to do something more than once to get the effect.
You do an hour of boxing training, and you're going to get gas. So the fact that you're helping a different level of cardio, and then you're working on different twitch muscles. So either you're reacting to the body and the way that it's positioning, and then having the quick movement in your hands. I think it all translates to that role. I think that's initially why Micah Parsons. Him playing more of a defensive end role and having to rip and swim by guys, he just wants to have that extra edge. And if it just gives you 10%, if it allows you to be 10% better,
oh yeah,
you're going to do it. Like, why wouldn't you do it? It's a great workout, and it's going to improve you by 10%. It's a no-brainer.
Okay, let's roll through this list. Jonathan Hankins, big boy. Glad we brought him back. Then we have Osa. Is that Osa? We got the mini screen, so I'm trying to read it.
Yeah,
Osa Odighizuwa, who's, I think, our best defensive tackle. I honestly think Osa or Double O is our best defensive tackle. Junior Fioka, a fourth-round pick. Stoked to see the Polynesian, and I'm stoked to see him about to just create absolute havoc out there. Chauncey Golston, we don't know much about him. Haven't seen much of him. He's kind of just floated around a bit. He's always there, so you know the Dan Quinn and the coaches love him. And then Neville Gallimore, Canadian boy. So, again, our defensive line, the middle was our weak point last year. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, I think we shored it up. I think we shored this thing up. Jonathan Hankins, Mozzie Smith, and Osa, your top three, they're going to be able to do some things.
Before moving on from what makes Double O stand out for you from these guys?
He's the best pass rushing defensive tackle we have. He'll get sacks, but he can also stop the run. Like, he'll get that penetration. He'll get up there in the middle, and he'll have a chance to actually take down the quarterback, where I find Jonathan Hankins, he's not out there to ever get to the quarterback. He isn't. Sure. Mozzie Smith in college was never a guy that got to the quarterback much. Could he be that guy? Possibly. But as of right now, Osa is that guy that you'll have him out there as your defensive tackle on third and long. You're not going to take him out. You're like, okay, he's still powerful enough and quick enough to still get up there in the middle and get to the quarterback. So now I think he's our best, threat.
But if you look at someone like Jonathan Hankins and Mozzie Smith, I mean, Jonathan Hankins isn't the answer to our run stoppage as Mozzie Smith is supposed to be. But then you have someone, like you said, like Osa Odighizuwa, who can do a bit of both. And
that's
why
he's the best. He's the most versatile.
And then you have Junior Fioka and Chauncey Golston, who can hopefully kind of be that middle ground person. And
well, I think Fioka could be that guy too. He could be that middle. You're right.
Because you do need to have someone who can be decent at both. And then you have studs who can do better on either end. So yeah, I'm excited about I'm excited about our D line this year.
I'm excited about our defense. I'm more excited for our defense than our offense, to be honest.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, and you know what? We're going to the LBs, baby. I got really excited about our defense but I got even more excited about our defense from all the sounds of the sidelines last season. I'm like, oh man, it would be amazing to be a defensive player on this team. Just how jacked up they are and going out there with someone like Dan, knowing that you're going out there to like help prove something to DQ because of all of his accolades that he's done on a defensive level. I think that also kind of propels all these players to want to step up and like be the guy. Anyways, linebackers, fuck you guys.
Linebackers, wow.
Ah, great take. I agree completely.
Thank you.
Dan Quinn, love him.
Thank you.
I would run through a goddamn wall for Dan Quinn.
Thank you.
Me too. And so these linebackers, we got Leighton Vander Esch,
Four linebackers.
Wolf Hunter.
Four. Damone Clark, Devin Harper, Marquise Bell. Surprise cut, perhaps, that we missed is Jabby Cox, who also fled the Cowboys to go and play for another division rival in the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, he did. He fled. He said, I'm out. You guys don't think I'm good enough? Paste. Interesting enough here, though, the linebackers, Marquise Bell, who's been a safety for us, is showing up on this list.
Well, there's also this comment here by Jeremy Anello, Adam, about the safeties. And he says,
yep, Also, I was waiting to pull that up. So yeah, go ahead and say it.
He says also the safeties play linebacker in DQ's defense, so that's why we can't fix.
We've talked about that quite a bit in our chat. Like, we have a chat on Instagram, and I think that's why we went light on linebackers, because Dan Quinn predominantly uses safeties as their linebackers, right? Like, they're only going to roll probably two linebackers for a lot of their schemes, and then even in a lot of their long third and longs, they're only going to have one linebacker, right? So it's kind of a reverse on what you're used to. You're used to seeing a team keep a lot of linebackers and then a few safeties. Like, you're used to seeing six linebackers and like three safeties, and we're flipping the script, going less linebackers and more safeties, which at this point in the NFL, it's kind of interchangeable, right? The speed's a factor, so they're kind of going the smaller linebackers. Minus Leighton Vander Esch, if you looked at the average size of our linebackers, they're not as massive as humans as it was about 10 years ago.
So here's how I want to break this down. LVE, we know what we got. Let's hope that he continues his trend that we saw him on, his trajectory, I should say, that we saw him on last year. Damone Clark, I mean, is this technically his sophomore season?
Yep. Yeah, it's his sophomore season.
So he was drafted last year?
Fifth round last year, missed a bunch of games. He was supposed to miss the whole season because of his back injury. Ended up coming out halfway through the season and just supplanting Jabril Cox and being that guy that we thought Jabby Cox was going to be, basically.
Okay, so sorry, I thought this was his third year. So regardless, though, this will be his first year
as a full starter.
That's interesting to see. He could be exceptionally better than he was last year, and he played very well. So,
I'm excited to see Damone Clark. Definitely,
it definitely is the only position. It is one of the biggest position groups that we've all been a little bit hesitant over, and I think Overshown kind of helped that hesitation a bit. And then when he got injured, it kind of brought back up a little bit of our hesitation,
a little bit of vomit in the throat.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that we're gonna be bad in that spot. Obviously, there's a plan in place. You can move.
Yeah, you can tell if there's only four linebackers.
Yeah, but
fucking wild, man. Yeah. Four linebackers, but this is kind of misleading because Malik Jefferson will be brought back. They're saying will be brought back on the linebacking core once they do some shifting. So it might be five, but even that's pretty low for an NFL team.
Yeah.
So Devin Harper taking, basically replacing Cox. Improvement, upgrade, or TBD?
I'm going to say TBD.
Yeah. But it's not, there's not a lot that he has to do.
And I'm going to trust the coaches. Obviously, they've had, this was the third season that they had.
Wow,
to look
someone
at.
Bought new Yeezys and someone's can't get them out of his
Kanye
mind.
Fan. This is his third Yeezin,
baby. But, I trust in the coaches, and if they see something in Devin Harper over Jabril Cox, it's the right move.
And with Marquise Bell, did we even see him play linebacker at all?
It's like fringe safety up on the line. They're up in the box. Not substantial set as linebacker, but it's one of those things like J'Ron Curse, you've never seen him play linebacker, but you've seen him play linebacker.
So this is how I think they're going to be drawing up their plays. They're going to have their linebacker onlys, and that might be, obviously it's going to be LV or Clark and Harper, and then they're going to have safety linebackers, and there is a lot of rotation there, which we'll be getting to in maybe a couple of minutes here. But I think I think Marquise Bell is just put there as a position. He might fall back and play safety too at times if necessary, but because he's someone who is noticeable when he's on the field.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know if there's a limit, but you know, when you're drafting a team in Madden, it's like you get the little brackets and it's like, okay, you get five linebackers and four safeties or whatever it is, right? Maybe they just couldn't actually put that many safeties on their 53-man roster, so they just said, okay, he's a linebacker. Right.
Yeah. No. Totally. And if that's how you're going to play him, if that's how you're going to scheme, then who cares if you're put on a linebacker or a safety? Like you know the position is close safety or whatever they would call that
a hybrid. It's a hybrid spot.
Yeah. When they're playing more of a linebacker position.
Yep.
Cool.
Thumbs interesting up. Though. Four. I would have never guessed four linebackers.
No.
Very, very interesting. From 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, four linebackers. Crazy.
Cornerbacks. So on the list, we got our boy, number 7, Trevon Diggs. Then Stephon, I'm stealing your number, Zeke, 21, Gilmore.
Ooh, sorry.
We got Deron Not-So-Bland. Jordan Lewis, who's been activated from the PUP list.
Here's a good one. Here's a good one. AJ, can you do the honors?
Sure, yeah. I'll try.
And the newest pickup.
Noah Igbinoguni.
That's not bad, actually.
Pretty good. I think that
Igbinoguni.
Igbinoguni. We got Eric Scott Free Jr. and Nashawn Wright.
Okay. I mean, and this is the I like it. I like our cornerbacks, man.
So, but Bland though, Anth, you feel so if Bland would be the that three position.
He's your nickel
cornerbacks, right? So Jordan Lewis, where's he? Oh.
Nickel. He'll be Yeah, so he'll be so if they're playing like a dime package. You'll have Trevon Diggs, Stephon Gilmore, Deron Bland, and Jordan Lewis. Those will be your four cornerbacks out there. Because when you're in a dime position, you have two nickel cornerbacks. So you'll have Jordan Lewis and Deron Bland in your slots, like kind of in the middle, and then you'll have Trevon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore on the outside. So okay. Deron Bland and Jordan Lewis essentially play the same position,
right? And then Noah. Or N.I.
I don't know much about Noah, but no, Eric Noah, Scott Jr.
He's
Noah,
a CB.
Noah Igbinoguni.
Well, yeah, he's a CB, but no, Eric Scott Jr. and Nashawn Wright, those guys are backing up Trevon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore, where I bet you Noah is backing up Jordan Lewis and Deron Bland.
Oh, you think?
That would be my guess.
Okay, I was thinking Noah was coming on as the CB, and they were just going to run Bland and Lewis in that nickel.
Well, the only reason I don't...
But I'm still learning.
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at Noah too much. I'm just thinking that he's a backup for Deron Bland and Jordan Lewis because if Deron Bland or Jordan Lewis go down...
Oh, I see.
Eric Scott and Nashawn Wright, they're outside cornerbacks, right?
Okay.
So, and I don't know. Chat might know, but that's kind of how I'm looking at it right now.
I think his breakdowns, he's had like one interception, 29 tackles in 35 games. So it's... It has to be someone that, let's say, DQ has looked at and said, okay, he slots well into our defense. I can use him like this. I can't see that trade happening without being like, you didn't hear Jerry say, I picked up Noah. I made the trade without consulting with the team. A trade like that, you're going to consult with your defensive coordinator, I feel.
Yeah.
So you hope that Dan Quinn knows what he has, and he's like, yeah, he's...
Both teams felt that they had to hit the limit with their player. It was an even trade. Bossman Fat was a year later in the late second round, I believe.
Yep.
And Noah was late first round or early second. Anyways, they were like a pick apart and a year apart.
Yeah, Noah was a first round. Bossman Fat was second round.
And possibly he's been picked up by Miami strictly just to be that special teams player because, you know, Bossman Fat showed up a little bit more on special teams than he did in his position. So possibly they're going to utilize him in that special teams role.
They traded roster spots. That's it.
Yeah. And actually Jeremy Nello saying, I think Noah is also a special teams player. So
yeah, he is. So Noah is a special team player and a nickel. He is in the nickel. AJ, can you say it again? Because you nailed it the first time.
Noah Igbinoguni
competed for the starting spot opposite Xavien Howard in nickel situations, but didn't distinguish himself from veteran Eli Apple, who was added after Jalen Ramsey suffered a knee injury that will likely sideline him until December. So that's why the Dolphins basically were like, okay, we don't got nothing with him. And he was cheaper than what... So Bossman Fat's cheaper for the Dolphins than what... Noah was going to be.
Okay. And Cowboys have the cap to spend that extra million or whatever it is.
I think it's kind of a wash as a trade, to be honest.
To me, it's like, hey, we have this guy. He's not working out here. But he's got these fundamentals. Oh, we have this guy. He's not working out here. We have these fundamentals. You just want to spit swap? Yeah, let's spit swap. Spit in my mouth.
But all we can hope for? The spit swap doesn't make sense because the second person who has to spit in the other person's mouth is basically
spitting
back like regurgitated spit.
Hey, but I'd rather be the first spitter than the second spitter.
Yeah, you'd have to basically.
Would it be like a Blood Brothers spit?
No. You'd have to each spit in a cup.
Yeah.
And then drink the other
I'll
spit
in this cup, you spin that cup, and then we drink each other's spit. Okay.
That's
that
the only way.
Can we just make the trade instead?
I don't want to do it.
Cornerbacks
looking good. Like it. I'm going to give them a solid rating.
And then the safeties, baby.
So safeties, we got
Dono Dub.
I rated them cyan, baby. I did, and I'm still back, and I'm still sticking to that.
Super cyan. We got Dono Dub, Jaron Kearse, Malik Hooker, Israel Mukamu, and Juwanye Thomas.
Or Juwanye Thomas.
Or Juwanye.
Juwanye.
One way.
Thomas.
But anyways, look, we know what we got in that three-headed Cerberus monster. What? Well, I guess we got two Cerberuses, but Dono Dub, Kearse, Hooker, we know what we got there. Mukwamu comes in, plays really nice, and Thomas had a great
yeah, we've been liking that number 30 Thomas fucking getting in the mix.
JT's been laying the boom, absolutely had a great camp. He played a lot in the preseason, was always floating around the ball. I feel pretty comfortable if he had to step in for any of the starting three.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I guess you can technically add
Marquez Bell.
Yeah, Marquez Bell. So, hey, we already know it. Everyone knows it.
Everybody knows the safeties.
Fucking hot as hell.
I do like that you're going the Dono Dub jersey.
I didn't know that.
You've been talking about it all fucking season.
Because he...
Or all offseason.
Did he sign the new contract this year or last year? Anyways, he's around for...
I think he did I think it was a three-year contract this year.
So I can be happy with that.
Jeremy Nello says, this is the most moves I've seen Jerry make in a long time. I'm hoping we make a big trade before the trade deadline.
Could be one piece away from really, really shaking it up. Definitely.
And then our specialist here, we got, obviously, Brandon Aubrey.
The BAs?
Anger, the BA crew.
Hey, if you're going to be on this kicking squad, you need to start with a B and end with an A. Woohoo!
And with Anger, we got no questions. We know what he can do. He's a deadly punter.
One of the best in the league.
Best in the league. It's going to have a punter like him really can change the momentum of a game and put you in a better position to win those close games. So I'm happy about that. Brandon Aubrey, lots of question marks, but.
Yeah. I feel more nervous about Aubrey than I was with Money Mayer.
Another season, another time. Can fans going into the season with question marks praying, at kicker.
Praying. That we're not going to have those issues.
It is what it is. And then there's some notes here just with Trent Seagy's coming back probably and CJ Goodwin. So whatever.
But there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some moves. This isn't the final 53-man roster. There's going to be some shakers. There's going to be some movers. But hey, man, we did it. I'm going to go back to it. We made it through the offseason. CanFan Season 3. We are jacked the F up. We're week and a half away from Cowboys football, Sunday night football against the Giants. We will be back. Are we doing Sunday? I don't think we are. It's my birthday Sunday.
Sunday's your birthday. We're going to give you it off.
Just like the players, they got this weekend off before a big fucking season starts. It's like we got a lot going on every single week from now until February. So yeah, we'll take
Woo!
We'll take a little bit
season three, baby.
So last Sunday we're taking off until we have a Sunday service for the next 6 months. Can't wait. We will be back next Wednesday for the main event. The Bandwagon Boys over there holding the fort down. Hopefully I can try to make it in studio. It's, as you can tell, the sun's going down.
I know.
It's
getting darker and darker.
It's getting darker and darker over here. All right, for the Bandwagon Boys over holding down the fort and me here in, it looks like a closet. We out and we will be back Wednesday.
Anth, are you safe? Are you safe?
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line
prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.